Hi, everyone. It's been a few years. Oh, should I let you say something? I am just so excited. Did you want to say anything? Okay. Yes, I think, okay. It's been a few years since I've been in Montreal, and actually I'm in the process of two kinds of divorce, which is interesting. One literally, one of the sort of institutional sort, which is not very fun. And my book, Terra Incognita, I'll be reading from today, doesn't touch upon divorce, but it touches upon another kind of divorce, and that is, I guess you would say, my affinity for the United States. And I've been living in New York and Philadelphia for almost 5 years on and off. And yeah, Donnie is not a fan. I'm not a fan. And the thing is, I know that it's a long stretch, but you know, one of the things I've been thinking about a lot, right, is this idea of why is poetry even relevant at this juncture? Why is creative writing important? Why is this right now, this moment, unrepeatable moment, important? And I think of this as a poet, but also as a scholar, someone who's, you know, in the ivory tower, but also someone who identifies as a mixed race black woman. And how do I navigate that? And so this book is really about navigating the terra incognita, or the unknown territory, that really, I don't want to ever say it's a universal. I don't believe in universal conditions and all that jazz. But I definitely think that regardless of our positioning in the world right now, and may I say, even more imperative for women, LGBT, et cetera, trans, and people of color, this is a very serious time, right, in which we feel as women too, just this, I don't know, a sense of lostness in the States, at least. When I come here, whew, I'm just like, I love it, and I love being a citizen. And I actually have a lot of, I'll get to the poetry, but I have a lot of literary friends and so forth in the States who really, you know, are hoping one day to cross over. So if I can sponsor anyone, yeah, I'll try my best. But this book is really actually about, it is about Canadian-American race relations and the sort of obvious tensions in that regard. But it's also about the, you know, how race and difference sort of operate in the psychic spaces which we inhabit. And being in Canada, where a lot of that is negotiated silently, quietly, formally, politely, right, and by distraction. Toni Morrison said that racism functions, number one, by distraction. I find that very interesting. So while we're all here, you know, debating if we, you know, how ignorant the current president is and how he doesn't fulfill certain obvious, you know, political, you know, common, lowest common denominator kind of politics and presence and decency, what we're really seeing is a time, I think, at least for me, where the imperatives of creative writing and the imperatives of claiming space and using your voice really is at a very important, we're in an important moment. And so therefore the poetry that we create and whatever creative arts that we pursue, in fact, have been lit by the fire of that importance. And so I'll start with my past lives. It's good to be back. I was a rich sailor in my first life, and a tragic negress in the second. Removed from sea or source, I third life, I decided to become a gangster. Cigarette smoke and cigars through bullet holes and blondes. In this life, it is only breathing and darkness. Light, darkness. Sound, light. The shadows where the hybrids hide and the haints keep hoping and laughing in the veneer of the gods. Or maybe the gods are laughing at the veneer of my face. But what science is there? What cosmology explains the death of my original language, lost to some new world bullshit? Yes, we are all growing in this world, preparing for our exit. The poem will be a memo to remember us by. Me, I've already died in the chess fields of Harlem on a hot and jazzless night. And I've come back, popping my fingers to a silent room. A mirror in place of the veil, a ghost in place of this flesh, a question mark for poem. My last words, a good long laugh. So one of the good things to come out of my ever so problematic relationship to the Ivy League and higher institutions and me being in school part-time and in the States where, again, my affinity, I think, what was it, Gwyneth Paltrow who came up with it? That unconscious coupling, decoupling, or something like that? Yeah, that's what I'm doing with the States, and that's sort of what I'm doing with academia, because I feel that there are a lot of restrictions, and there's a disconnect between, I think, being in an institution of higher learning, wherever you are, and trying to maintain that sort of radicality that we need, you know, to really be preaching to the people who aren't converted, and, you know, reading poetry that has something to say to people who aren't in these rooms too. So I'm always on this third, this book also looks at language itself, and in times of great doubt, which is for me right now, for many of us, about what my relationship is to language itself. And I write it after Charles Bernstein, who is a poet, American, Philadelphia, where I reside, and a mentor of mine. I'm learning to be the flower instead of the rake, learning to stop maiming my own viscera. Speak easy, never. Uproot. Repent, devane. I feel it might be my turn to return to nature, whatever that is, and so I chain these chains away together, up, up, and away. I face my face, and I name my name. I weather the storm and storm the fire by the subtle hum of a fearful but hopeful repair. And the myrrh may have marred this ancient beauty of my face, no longer relevant, and there are still days I am averse to grace, and I divine that the divine is a lie. And anxiety is nostalgia for the future, fear of the past. I want instead to turn my body into text, or let the text of my body appear to be the inner living of an outer dream, or vice versa, or just verses mixed in with a little vice. But whether there was light before language matters little. What we need are not the words to describe the broken glass, but how the light dances off of the shards. In other words, in a word, a whole world. In the world, the word. All right. My other mentor, I gotta get me some ladies in the house. All my mentors are men. And my other mentor is our Poet Laureate of Canada, currently George Eliot Clark, and he's been so good to me as a human being. He's so decent and so intelligent. And I think you said he's performed here about a year ago. And so we're working together on some things, one of which will be, if anyone's interested, if anyone travels to Toronto, we're doing a Leonard Cohen tribute evening. That I'm hosting in the city of Toronto. We have 10 poets, relatively, I don't even know, famous, rich and famous poets who are gonna be reading in his name and in his honor. I myself have an affinity for him, and it goes a long way. He's pretty much one of the reasons that I picked up poetry. When I realized that I was 15 years old, and he at that time, when he was 15, had already written his first book, and I don't know what I'm doing in life. I really, you know. And so when I realized that, I thought, okay, this is it. So George Eliot Clark, and again, a little bit of a testament to the. We'll see how things go, but the unknowns, right now politically, Bloodroot. I too am America. Have always been like you. But did you feel something? More in the crawling ivy, gathering like leagues down the backs of black trees. Did you gather the leaves? Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Or did those trees merely point heavenward, the real place for our dreams, but our aspirations made moot? And for the first time in the history of these skins, yes, the mulatto brother wins, but what of the screams? Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Not of the bop, the language of America's inevitable Africa, but the stench of magnolias mixed with burning flesh. What of the buried heads between clutched hands, black copper, eulogy, the unredeemable skins of unredeemable fruit, blood on the leaves, blood at the root. All right. This is a little bit of my dark sense of humor coming out. I loved your sense of humor, and I love your work, but Gwen, so thank you for that. And thank you for hosting me, Diana. Bastaldette, and it starts with a quote from Rimbaud, A Season in Hell. Vous êtes des faux nègres, vous maniaques, féroces, avares. I am your daughter, black man. Nightfall in these Canadian woods. One of the pillars of the old temple fell. I'm your daughter, like hell. The moon over the Canadian woods are so white. The moons, the northern night, full of stars, great big yellow stars. What's a body but a ploy? Black bodies playing in the dark. The scent of pine wood stings the soft night air. And what's the body of your mother? Silver moonlight everywhere. What's the body of your mother? Sharp pine scent in the evening air. This mixed up night, mulatto night. A whirl and a little mulatto girl. Nah, you're not my brother, not ever. You're not my father. Dark bodies ain't my father. In the northern night full of stars, great big yellow stars. Oh, sweet as earth, dusk dark bodies give sweet birth to little yellow bastard boys. Get on back there in the night, you ain't white. That's what I hear, and the bright stars scatter everywhere, and in the pine wood scent in the evening air, I am taken away. Thank you. I have a couple more. Thanks so much for coming out tonight. It's a fabulous series, and wow, what an honor. Claudia Rankine's going to be here. She's beautiful. She's great. And thank you for saying it properly. A lot of folks I encounter say Claudia Rankine, which is that's what I said, and I thankfully caught myself before I shook her hand. And I Rankine, and it was very obvious that I was overemphasizing this, and she was like, it's all right, you can call me Claudia. All right, all praise be to you. I'll do a couple more. I do have a couple of books for sale if anyone's interested, or you can look me up, ADEBE online. Ma grande inconnue. The sea gives me elemental warnings as I wait for signs of promise, signs of solitudes being broken down and bodies growing by tremor into a new birth, into a moment where our native land stretches its arms and I become we. For are we not somehow abandoned in spirit? This is how the sea compensates for our chaos of forms. For are we not all awaiting judgment, the great test of how we can keep still and guarded against the storm of memory that blurs our bodies against the winds. Submerged against the cliffs, histories, the history books escaped. Blanc, Nègre, Marronnage, our histories, songs of Calypso thrown into the apocalypse, tales blurred and burned against winds submerged again between the cliffs, whose people are ghosts, ghosts still sharp, abandoning themselves to Haiti, Haiti, where the romance of origins was washed away by Louverture, and though now not many think of his alpine death or his hands bringing news of the end of La France to assure the ancestors or exiles in their own soil that there would be light, he is still traversing those waters alive and black, his overture gone, but underground we carry on. Thank you. Okay, am I good for time? two short ones. Thank you again. Sea Star. Based on a zodiac reading from 2014, which reads, which I guess 2014, every 4 years. I think we're ending this period. And it said, for your entire generation, this is a period of intense research and discovery in areas that were heretofore considered mysterious, remote, or taboo. The root causes for many complex occurrences will be unearthed due to the intensity and thoroughness of the search. Ooh. Pluto in 05 degrees, Scorpio. I'm a Virgo, in case anyone cares. But I just thought it was curious, and so I call this Sea Star. And a friend of mine who you may be familiar with, Liz Howard, a poet who recently won the Griffin. All hail, praise to her. And she's one of my few friends who I genuinely am happy for her success. I think that's friendship, right? When you genuinely are like, my book lost to you, you're a great person. That's a true friendship. I think we'll be friends for a while. But yeah, her and I are very much into trying to understand how to define the need for poetry right now. I feel as though working in the language arts, so let's say as a journalist, I do journalism as well, or teaching English, which I do, or editing, and working with literature and literary things outside of the school framework is really important work. And it actually has what we think are, she's working on a new book and so am I, and we're kind of sharing ideas about, you know, what's this universe even going to look like? And that's a very precise question. It's a very practical question. It's not necessarily spiritual. I believe that what is practical, if it ain't practical, it ain't spiritual. And so for me, I'm thinking to myself, is it practical for me to write poetry every day, to surround myself in the presence of poets? Why? Well, yeah, I feel it's needed. So that's sort of where I am. In the fragile cosmos, I am often unsure if the time we spend heals the wounds or if the wounds time the healing perfectly. Talking about death was my transformation, not as in a cocoon's emergence, but a tree's attempt to grow around obstruction, an uncertain life. It was in part mine, a shared pearl, a gift of painful black sands. It was my forgetting the meaning of enchantment, how to swim, then fly, and then land. It was the slow descent into quicksand, the grotesque adult questions of what to do with this now. This now, the moment we're supposed to praise so much. And yet the blood still moves along the veins. Embers of Pompeii, not just of yesterday. The question, how to compose poetry after Pompeii anyway? Things are falling, are burning, in shard disorder today. The skulls we carry are not philosophic, but the stuff of walls and grounds and homes. We walk upon philosophies that are not the fugitive keys to our hope. We live amidst ghosts of flesh and flesh of ghosts. And yet, which is more heavy, which more dense? On a gravestone in Paris, it reads, Je m'ennuie déjà. I am bored already. Come, let us stitch promises of pilgrimage against the terra nullius, towards the dark sea that calls us to embark. And love, love for no night will grow younger. Love until your future is no longer something that you forget. Thank you very much, everyone.